This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. The controversial sale of Fresno's Tower Theater to Adventure Church has drawn months of protest and legal battles. As the close of escrow remains in limbo, local arts reporter Donald Monroe found himself asking why the church is so determined to purchase the landmark. I spoke to Monroe about his recent column on the controversy and got his recommendations for this year's virtual Rogue Festival, which wraps up on Sunday. In the commentary that you wrote about the potential sale of the Tower Theater for MonroeReview.com, you speculate about the motives that are involved for each of the parties. Let's go ahead and start with Adventure Church. From your perspective, what is in it for them?
Well, I have to begin by saying that it really is speculation. I can not get into the minds of the people involved, nor do I have any really insider information. But I have spent some time trying to figure out why the church would want to buy the tower. There seem to be so many reasons not to buy the tower. Number one would be that it's a historic landmark. You're very limited in terms of what you can do to change either the outside or the inside. You have all the expenses that are related to the upkeep of a historic landmark. It does not seem like it is configured in its present condition to be a very good interior of a church. I think there would be some challenges there. It's really expensive.
Right.
It's like, I don't know how a church on its own would be able to afford something that expensive. And then there is the depth of the opposition in the neighborhood. It's not really good karma, I think, for a church to move in somewhere where it is so definitely not wanted. So that's what got me to thinking about what were the motivations.
But given all of those reasons not to buy it, why do you think they are so invested in this particular property?
I think, and I speculate in my piece about this, I think there are two major motivations. One is financial. I think we can look at this situation from these two motivations. One is financial and one is religious. I think that there's a very strong religious component here. I think that this is part of the culture war mentality that we have in this country. And I think that there is a certain appeal to the idea of moving in to the city's most liberal, gay-friendly district and sort of establishing a huge and giant presence there.
Okay, so well, let's shift gears and talk about the theater's owner, Lawrence Abbott. Where do you think his head is at in this transaction? Is it as simple as he's just looking to sell to the highest bidder, or is religion or the culture wars also playing a role, do you think, maybe from that perspective?
I do not think that he is just interested in the price. I think that there's something more. I think that the fact that this church is very conservative meshes with his political standpoint. I think we saw a very concrete reflection of that when, after Rush Limbaugh's passing, he posted that message on the marquee of the Tower Theater mourning his death. I think that most reasonable people would know that an act like that would create a lot of controversy in the community.
So you have been covering arts in the Central Valley for quite some time, and I could think of no other person who could better articulate how significant the Tower Theater is to the arts scene in Fresno.
Like I tell people, when you go to the homepage of the Fresno Convention and Visitors Bureau, what do you see? Or how do we talk about our city? People will talk about the Tower District. We point to the Tower District as a point of pride. We say, look, we're like other medium-sized cities. We have a vibrant arts and entertainment district. And so the Tower Theater itself, of course, is a large, beautiful facility that attracts some very prominent touring entertainers and has some local users that are quite prolific. But it also serves as a symbol of the fact that, yeah, this city has a progressive district. It has a good nightlife. It does have arts. It does have entertainment. Don't laugh at us. Fresno does have culture.
Well, and one of the big events of the year is actually taking place right now, the Rogue Fest. I would be remiss in talking to you without getting your feedback on this year's festival, which is, of course, all virtual. Before I get your picks for this final upcoming weekend, tell us about the festival in general. What's it been like this year? And what's jumped out at you as real highlight?
Well, the Rogue made the decision to soldier on, even though they knew that everything would have to be virtual. And it is a much scaled down version of what the festival usually looks like. In person, in a regular year, you have up to 8 venues at the same time offering fringe festival acts. You have hundreds of people kind of milling around the Tower District, kind of enjoying that artistic vibe. It's really Fresno's answer to, say, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's a time that people gather together. So, of course, we can't do any of that. It's all on Zoom. There are only about half as many acts and performers that are participating in this year's festival. Some of those acts are just pre-recorded. So, say somebody in Texas, for example, puts together a 2-person show and records that, and then they play that for their road performance. Other acts are actually live. And it's been interesting seeing how different acts kind of adapt to this new platform. Attendance is way down. And I'm just estimating that from the shows that I attended last week, where you would see sell out crowds for the popular titles, maybe 50, 75 people, 100 people at some of the bigger venues. Some of the shows I attended only had 8 people in the audience. So I know that their attendance figures are going to be way down, and I think they're expecting that. But there still is this element of creativity, of trying to use the format in interesting and creative ways.
So there is one more weekend of performances. What are your picks?
One of my favorite shows that I saw last weekend was a show called, and I'll have to give you the characters, it's hashtag TXT on the internet. So it's text on the internet. And it's a show in which this performance artist who lives in Washington, D.C. sits there in his apartment. And you as an audience member use the chat function on Zoom to make him say things. In other words, you provide the dialogue. And
that sounds dangerous.
It is. And they even tell you beforehand, we have no idea where this is going to go. We don't know what it's, even rated. And the performance I saw, inexplicably, 2 of the audience members were from Milan, Italy, and I have no idea why they were there. They did not seem to know the performer. They did not seem to know anybody else. And so they made him speak in Italian quite often through the show, and they made him say things in Italian that would not be repeatable on this public radio station. It was hilarious.
That sounds like a heck of a show.
And what I like about it is that it uses the Zoom platform as part of the experience. The other thing I like about it is because it kind of makes the audience feel off kilter, especially at the beginning. There are no real directions. Like, you just start to figure out what's going on. He doesn't say anything to you that isn't texted to him. And then once you figure it out, I almost had a sense of duty, I guess, because I'm a writer and I felt like, oh, I've got to keep him talking because the other people weren't texting as much. So I ended up just writing and writing and writing. It was a trip. I really enjoyed it.
That sounds like fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
Donald Munroe, again, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.